So I'll be presenting on health characteristics of caregivers, and this is work that was supported by a cooperative agreement from the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities, but of course the content does not necessarily represent the official views of NCBDDD or CDC. And I have no relationships to disclose. Growing numbers of adults in the United States are providing care to family members or friends who have a disability or a chronic health care condition. The number of informal caregivers is expected to continue to increase as the population ages and as families struggle to afford long-term care costs. While the caregiving role is very important, it can also be stressful. Caregiving may result in financial and psychological strains, and it may also create or exacerbate health problems for caregivers. The purpose of this study was to examine health status and health risks among people providing informal care to a relative or friend, and to compare health of caregivers and non-caregivers. Our data source was Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System data from the state of Oregon, collected in 2012. 2012 was the first year that the caregiving module was used in Oregon, and it was administered to a subset of 2,872 BRFSS respondents. Caregivers were identified by an affirmative response to the first question in the module, which was, people may provide regular care or assistance to a friend or family member who has a health problem or disability. During the past month, did you provide any such care or assistance to a family member or friend? And 594 respondents said yes to that question. Our analyses included descriptive analyses of caregiver, non-caregiver, and care recipient characteristics, and multivariable logistic regression analyses to examine key health differences between caregivers and non-caregivers. We used data version 12.1 for all of our analyses to account for the complex survey sample methodology and weighting used in the BRFSS. Compared to non-caregivers, caregivers were older on average, more likely to be female, and more likely to be living in households with a relatively low income. The average age for caregivers was 51 years, compared to 47 years for non-caregivers. 60% of caregivers were female versus 50% of non-caregivers. And 48% of caregivers reported a household income of less than $35,000 per year, while 40% of non-caregivers were in that lower income range. Care recipients were also 60% female. In terms of relationship to the caregiver, the largest group of care recipients at 39% were parents or parents-in-law of the caregiver. 7% were a child or grandchild, 17% were the caregiver's spouse, 15% were some other relative, and 22% were non-relatives. Not surprisingly, given that relationship information, the majority of care recipients were on the older age, at the end of the age spectrum. About 4% of care recipients were 20 years of age or younger, 5% were age 21 to 30, 6% were age 31 to 40, and about 8% were 41 to 50. And then there was, in the next three decades, each of those included about 15% of the care recipient population. And I need to figure out how to go back because my slides are advancing. That's going forward more. Does anybody know how to go backwards? Yeah. Oh, use the back arrows. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So in terms of age, there was a big jump after the age of 80, with more than 32% of care recipients falling into that age 81 and older category. There was a wide range in the number of hours per week that caregivers spent providing care and in the length of time for which they had been caregivers. So about 17% provided less than 2 hours of care per week, 23% provided 3 to 5 hours of care, 19.6% provided 6 to 10 hours, 24% provided 11 to 39 hours, and for 15.7% of caregivers, this was a full-time job. They were providing 40 or more hours of care per week. Regarding duration of caregiving, 22.8% of caregivers had only been in that role for 3 months or less. 22% had been caregivers for 4 months to a year. 15.6% had been caregivers for 13 months to 2 years. 21.4% had been providing care between 2 and 5 years. And 18.2% had been caregivers for 5 years or longer. Caregivers were asked about the greatest difficulty associated with caregiving. About 7% said that caregiving created a financial burden. 8% said it left them without enough time for themselves. 5% said it didn't leave enough time for family, and a similar percentage said that it affected family relationships. The most common problem reported by 1/4 of caregivers was that caregiving creates stress. And then another 12% said that their greatest problem was some other issue. However, it's definitely not all bad news. 37.5% of caregivers said that caregiving created no additional difficulties. So that's actually the largest group of respondents saying that they don't perceive caregiving as a strain. However, caregivers were more likely to describe their health as fair or poor, 23.6% versus 15.3%, and that difference was statistically significant. Caregivers also reported significantly more days of poor mental health. Only 46% of caregivers said they had not had any days of poor mental health during the past month, compared to 63% of non-caregivers. 36% of caregivers reported 1 to 14 days of poor mental health in the past 30 days, compared to 28% of non-caregivers. And 18% of caregivers had 15 to 30 days of poor mental health, compared to 10% of non-caregivers. We also looked at nutritional status, which included household food insecurity during the past 12 months. That was measured by 3 questions about, one, not having enough food and not being able to afford to buy more, 2, not being able to afford to eat balanced meals, and 3, whether one or more adults in the household had cut their meal size or skipped meals because there wasn't enough money for food. The next nutritional status variable was hunger, which was measured at the personal level, with 2 questions. In the past 12 months, did you ever eat less than you felt you should because there wasn't enough money to buy food? And in the past 12 months, were you ever hungry and didn't eat because you couldn't afford enough food? And the last variable we looked at was obesity, defined as a body mass index of 30 or higher. 31% of caregivers were obese compared to 24.5% of non-caregivers, but that difference was not statistically significant. However, the differences in food insecurity and hunger were significant and fairly substantial. About 24% of caregivers lived in food insecure households compared to 15% of non-caregivers. And 12% of caregivers experienced hunger compared to less than 5% of non-caregivers. So although hunger was relatively rare in both groups, it was between 2 and 3 times more common for caregivers. That seemed noteworthy enough to us that we wanted to look at it in more detail. So we conducted logistic regression analyses controlling for age, gender, race, ethnicity, income, and health status. And we found an adjusted odds ratio for caregivers of 1.92 for food insecurity and 2.7 for hunger. And those were both statistically significant. Prior research has found greater prevalence of food insecurity in households with working-age adults. That could be related in part to lost income if an adult with a disability is unable to or limited in their ability to work. It could also be related to additional medical or other expenses associated with the disability. And it may also be related in part to caregiving. If there's an adult in the household providing care for the individual with a disability, there could be lost income from restrictions on the caregiver's ability to maintain paid employment. And that would have parallels with our findings. About half of the people for whom caregivers in our sample were providing care were past retirement age. So lost income due to the care recipient's inability to work is probably less of an issue in this case. But caregiving commitments may constrain the caregiver's ability to generate income. And in fact, caregivers did tend to be living in households with somewhat lower income compared to non-caregivers. However, the differences in food insecurity and hunger were significant even when controlling for income. So that suggests to us that caregiving may be associated with additional costs related to the needs of the care recipient, such that an otherwise adequate household income is no longer sufficient to reliably be able to afford enough food. There are some limitations to the study. These are data from 1 year from a single state. We are continuing to use the caregiver module in Oregon, so we'll have additional years of data to analyze in the future. In looking at the CDC's BRFSS website, it's not obvious from the information available there that any other states have collected both caregiving data and food insecurity data in the same year. However, it could have been done as state-added questions, which was actually the case in Oregon. So if any other states have collected these data, we'd certainly be interested in collaborating in multi-state analyses. BRFSS data is, of course, cross-sectional, so we can't determine directional relationships between caregiving, income, and health issues. There have been some longitudinal studies of caregivers' health that have observed declines in health as caregiving burden increases, but the temporal relationship with food insecurity and hunger is still very much in question. It's possible that households with caregivers were already food insecure before caregiving began. Nonetheless, our findings suggest that it's important to screen for food insecurity in households with caregivers. Informal caregivers play a critical role in allowing people to remain in their own homes and their own communities as long as possible, rather than in more expensive nursing home settings. But food insecurity and hunger may limit the caregiver's long-term ability to provide care. So there's a potential for substantial impacts on well-being and healthcare expenditures for both caregivers and care recipients, which is why we think it's particularly important to be collecting surveillance data and continuing to monitor this issue, and also to explore interventions to reduce food insecurity in households with caregivers. Thank you.